To him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, be glory and praise now and forever. Amen. We're meditating this evening on select verses from the Gospel from John 13 that I read before, verses 1 to 5 and then 12 to 17. Let's focus on those again now. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved those who were his own in the world, he loved them to the end. By the time the supper took place, the devil had already put the idea into the heart of Judas, son of Iscariot, Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God. He got up from the supper and laid aside his outer garment. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. To verse 12. After Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garment, he reclined at the table again. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord. You are right because I am. Now if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Yes, I have given you an example, so that you also would do just as I have done for you. Amen, amen, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. A new commandment I give you, love one another, just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another." We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Amen. In the name of our dear Redeemer, dear fellow disciples, and dearly redeemed, if you've had a chance to travel in foreign countries, you may be impressed with how different it can be, the experience in a restaurant. For instance, in China, it just struck me that in most places, it seems like the people sitting at the table really look down on the wait staff, like they're just the servants here, you're here to serve us. And there's just a whole different dynamic of what we're used to in the United States. It's, you don't talk to the servants waiting on you in China because we're the important people sitting at the table. Just an impression. The opposite of what you find in Italy. The gratuities are already set there, so they already know what they're going to make afterwards. If you come in, I suppose, looking like you're really well off, you're into the money and you're into the alcohol, I would imagine that the reaction would be somewhat different. But it just seemed like in some places you had to, like when it was time to go find the waiter. "Il conta per favore?" Do they understand you? It's the bill, if you please. I'd like to leave. In America? Well, you know how it is. If that service isn't right the way it ought to be, that tip is going to be smaller. And if it's really, really bad, it might just be a quarter left on the table and you walk out and you pay the bill. But, oh, America, you know. You call them ugly Americans overseas because sometimes we just have this attitude and this impression that we leave with people that we can't wait. Now is the time. I want it cheaper, I want it faster, and I want it better. And sadly, we would mostly fit right in with the disciples on Maundy Thursday, the mandatum command Thursday, when Jesus gave his new command for love and his commandments about Lord's Supper. It's the command Thursday. We'd fit in because this has been going on for some time. You know how it is. Jesus very wisely waited till toward the end of his ministry. Then he starts to tell his disciples that he's going to have to suffer and die. It's going to be their own religious leaders. It will be the Gentiles who put him on the cross. And it seems like every time he mentions that, something comes up. Luke's record, Luke 22. Jesus says one of them will betray him. Later he will say Peter is going to deny him before the rooster crow. You know what happens in between? Probably do. They're arguing about who's the greatest. That argument was somehow going on as they come to the Holy Supper that night in the room where they were supposed to celebrate the most awesome feast of the Jewish calendar, 1,500 years old. It's the Passover, goes back to Egypt, the time of Moses and the Exodus and the blood on the doorposts and all of that. And somebody is supposed to do something. And if you're like the rest of the disciples, you're sitting there wondering, where's the wait staff? What are we paying for this room? Did you just hear it? Roll the tape. Maybe they didn't want the job either. Everybody wore sandals. It's only natural that before they would recline at the table, the servant would wash the feet. And these disciples are maybe still mad at each other because when you argue about who's the greatest, everybody's going to lose. You know that. So are they all just glaring at each other as they sit down and, you know, waiting like who's going to do it? They're waiting, they're glaring, until Jesus got up from the supper, laid aside his outer garment. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus did it. It's not a surprise here in the sense that, you know, when God created us, he created us in need of each other. There's this community aspect of humanity where everybody needs his guy, right? You need somebody that's got skills beyond what you have. So God created us that way. So you need somebody to help you with taxes. That's on everybody's mind right now. Or is it healthcare, the professionals? Or home or auto repair, somebody that's got skills that you don't have and you're looking for that, and service gets rewarded, right? You have somebody that really knows what they're doing and they've got that skill, they're on time, they're responsive, they get there, they get the job done, they don't have to come back and do it over and over again. Stand behind their work, all of that, we reward that, we really appreciate that, and you know what? There's nobody that deserves a better recommendation and a more glorious review than Jesus our Savior. You talk about service that nobody had a right to expect. He is the Creator. And his price? He does it free. He freely offers the greatest skill ever. Not just in foot washing, but the whole way that he's teaching his disciples, his patience, his kindness, and who he really is, what he brings to the meal that night. Jesus as the Creator is God from all eternity. Thus says the Lord. He has the divine names. He has the divine characteristics or attributes. He has the divine works. He deserves the divine honor, and yet look at him serve, and look at who he serves. He's all there with his omniscience in the fact that he knows everything, and his omnipotence as the Creator who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He spoke, and it came to be. He is the Word of God incarnate. He's the power, a source of God that comes from his mouth and the extension of his power. Jesus is all of that. He deserves the best recommendation that you could ever give him. people are telling me these days about special opportunities that some sickness, some diagnosis, some COVID-related experience, whatever, is giving you opportunities where people are asking you questions that they don't normally ask. Give them a glowing review of your Savior Jesus because of the way he serves. It is really awesome. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, and he's humble. And it says, having loved those who were his own, he loved them to the end. While they're asking who, you and I have to ask why. Why doesn't he just walk out? I mean, how do you feel if you're in a restaurant? Let's say you're on an anniversary meal or something. This is really, really important. And nobody even comes over to say hi or give you water or take your order. And then you finally have to get up and you go looking for someone. And then you find somebody in the staff. And, well, I have to take care of this table over here. How to ruin a night, huh? Why not Jesus in that case? Why doesn't he just walk out and say, I've done everything for these guys. I've spent 3 years teaching them, really? And this is what I get? I tell them I'm going to suffer and die, and they're so insensitive, all they can do is argue about who's the greatest and totally ignore my needs. You been there? You felt that way? Who hasn't? Who here has not really given of yourself at some time and turned around and just felt like, really? That's what I get? He doesn't walk out. And you ask why? He just answered it. He loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. It's the Greek word for the goal. And it's literally, he loved them into the goal. Since we have soccer players here, I can just want you to stop and imagine that you can play soccer like most of us only in our dreams. And you are just flying down the field, and your feet are one with the ball. You're totally in balance, and you feel no fatigue. You're just blazing down. Every time you fake, you leave your opponent in the grass behind you until finally there's only you and the goalie and the goal. You've got this. He's tired. You're not. You just drill it right where you want it to be, and you score. He loved them to the end. He loved them into the goal. He loved them all the way. And what we're celebrating in this Triduum service of 3 days, the three-day service of Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, and Easter, is that nothing could turn Jesus aside. Not his disciples, not the devil. He has no sinful flesh to deter him. It's all holiness, righteousness, peace, and love, all the way to the cross. He had answered the question of greatness before. You might remember back in Matthew chapter 20, it's James and John that asked their mother, apparently, to go and ask Jesus, you know, for the special places in his kingdom at his right and his left. And Jesus says, it's not going to be like Gentile rulers among you. Whoever of you wants to become great will be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you will be your slave. It's totally upside down in Jesus' kingdom. And he's not just the example. He's the forgiveness for all the times that we failed to do that. He's the one who loved us all the way into the goal of the cross and the reconciliation with God. It's because of all those times when we're asking why. Why should I help? Why doesn't somebody else do it? All those, why doesn't anyone say thank you? Why doesn't anyone notice? You know, and you're tired. And then there's the pride. Then there's the selfishness. All those things inside us. I don't know, do you ever get to a point sometimes in your Christian life where you have these feelings that you know you shouldn't have, and you think to yourself, why? What's going on? And you're praying your heart out that you could just have a heart more like Jesus, you know, tender, loving, kind, and true. Make me more like you. But right now, I'm not. That's why he loved you all the way into the goal. The goal of God's wrath, the goal of God's punishment for your sins and mine. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I love that word all in the Bible. There are theologians who want to try to quantify it, in other words, limit it. When God says all, he means all. And when he says all sin, it's real sin for real sinners, all washed away in the only blood that could. Did the disciples finally get it? Do we? Now, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Now I ask you, have you ever come to church and had somebody wash your feet? There are places that you can go that they actually have foot washing. What's our problem? Imagine that. Okay, they wore sandals then. Didn't Jesus know that it's cold up here in the North Country? And if we're not wearing shoes, we're probably wearing boots and most likely don't want to take off all our socks and everything like that and have somebody wash our feet. Didn't Jesus know that? Yeah, Jesus knows. That's why he says, I'm leaving you an example, a pattern. A pattern of service. Did they get it? You call me teacher and Lord. You're right. That's what I am. Now, if I, your teacher and Lord, wash your feet, you wash each other's feet. I've given you an example. Do as I have done for you. Amen, amen, I tell you. A servant is not greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. What does he mean here? Do we get it? Do we serve? Do we love? Because he says, a new commandment I give you. God had already told his people to love. That part's not new. Love your neighbor as yourself. But this part is. Love one another just as I have loved you. Unconditionally, while you were still sinners, Christ loved you. Died for you, so also you ought to love one another. Do we? Do we love? Recent article in New Life News raised some questions, good ones. About a night long ago when the only two volunteers for the new mission that became New Life quit the same night, 100% loss. Tough night. It's in the article. But the question came up, but what about? And then names of charter members that either are still here and working now or have passed from grace to glory. What about them? They didn't quit. Got me to thinking how much that Monday evening that sticks so in my memory when everybody quit was so much like the darkness just before the dawn. Because it couldn't have been more than a week or a few weeks when people started showing up and volunteering and asking, and the weeks and months leading up to our first service, many willing hands. The fact of the matter is, it really hasn't slowed down since then. Do we love? Do we serve? Do we follow Jesus' example and wash one another's feet? You don't even know everybody I'm talking about. Some of you do. But one of the really wonderful things that I've seen over the years as Christ lives in you is this willingness to step aside and let others have a go at it. There are places where there are turf battles that you would not believe over who does what. It typically shows up in the kitchen, ladies, you know. We have not suffered from that. Is it perfect? Not in us, no. But it is in Christ. Because his blood washes away all sin, because God credits us with his righteousness, all he sees is the perfect love and service of his own Son. He put that on you when he brought you to faith in your baptism. And he puts it on you over and over again in the Holy Supper from Maundy Thursday. This body broken for you, this blood shed for you, the blood of the new covenant of pure grace and sins forgiven. Do we love? Do we serve? Well, these are menial tasks that don't necessarily need trumpets and fanfare, but they go on. And those who were charter members have been joined by many others. And I don't know half of it, not even as the pastor. As much as we talk about it and I hear about it and constantly, it's one of the reasons why it's better for us as Bible-believing, gospel-oriented pastors not to give a whole bunch of directives about what to do. I find that just gets in people's way. To tell you about Jesus and your dear Savior and about the time when the sun was rising on this mission so that there were plenty of willing hands, humble hands, like those of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, energetic hands, gentle hands, eager hands, connected to his heart. There are times, my dear friends, when you should just stop and think about Psalm 149, where the Lord says, "The Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation." And when you find yourself not being so humble about it, remember what Jesus also told his disciples. When you have done everything you were supposed to do, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." The police don't stop you after you go through a green light and congratulate you because you went through a green light and didn't run through the red. That's what you're supposed to do. That's duty. God doesn't owe us anything. But he wants us to know something about his generous, kind nature. And it's the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love that you showed for his namesake when you served his saints and while you continue to serve them." God remembers more than you and I are supposed to. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And when you fail, when I fail, well, that's what that Friday is all about. In the second of our three-day services, the Friday we call good. Tonight, rest in the Lord and know that his humble hands saved your soul and set your hands free to serve. In Jesus' precious name, amen.